I want to thank Matt for inviting me to speak to you here today about cryopreservation. And I will try to explain how is it related to conservation and horticulture. Why we need in-situ conservation. We are facing an extinction and we need to preserve many of those plants. And for that, the botanical gardens like the Huntington that I didn't mention is in Southern California. It's a beautiful garden and you are all invited to visit it. We can help in the reintroduction, distribution, education of general public, and also doing some research. In terms of cryopreservation of plants, there is a lack in the United States. We are only three institutes doing some research on providing protocols for the long-term conservation of clonal material. And the Huntington is one of them. As you can see, you don't need a big facility. This is our tissue culture and cryopreservation facilities at the Huntington. It's in a small lab, but we can do interesting things there. So we, in the cryopreservation protocols need to work with the tissue culture because we use in vitro material. And we can use from shoot tips to pollen through seeds as well when they are tolerant to the freezing in liquid nitrogen. Or we can also work with embryos when the seeds are not tolerant to the desiccation and the freezing. What we are trying to do is first doing research in tissue culture and cryo preservation of endangered species. And our goal is as well support and train other users and get involved other institutions at the United States and other developing countries that can enlarge the number of labs that can work on the conservation at long term. And another advantage of using tissue culture and cryopreservation is that we can easily or more easy exchange plant accessions. As Gary was mentioning before, it's difficult to move ex vitro plants. The in vitro plants are not easy as well, but they are a little bit easier because the requirements for pests are different because they are clean. We put them clean inside of containers, and we can move them around the world. A big advantage for the cryopreservation is as well that we can store material in theoretically and in limited time. It reduces the costs and the space, mainly for the woody plants, because you can have a forest in a few feet squares, and it prevents the infection and the genetic changes when you don't want them. As I say, a way to preserve material can be through seeds, but for that you need seeds that are orthodox, and this is an example of what we are doing at the Huntington. We are testing seeds that are not preserved in liquid nitrogen, and we see whether they germinate or not, and then we compare the germination with those the part of the sample that has been cryopreserved. And the late goal is create a cryobank for Cactaceae. And this is because the Huntington holds a really big collection of this family. And the seeds, as you might know, they are not big, so we could preserve them in vials. And so far, the most of the genus we have been trying, they are tolerant to this treatment, so we don't need to do anything else but just plunging them in liquid nitrogen and then we can recover the plants whenever we want. When we don't have plants with this type of seeds, name it orthodox, or we don't have seeds, or we go to collect seeds and they are not there, and we need to have other techniques to still preserve the material, We can use tissue culture, and then the tissue culture material can be the donor for plant cryopreservation. This is a technique that we use in our lab. It's called droplet vitrification, and I will not go through that, but we mainly use what we call vitrification solutions that contain a cocktail of cryoprotectants, and with that we can preserve the cells of being crushed because of ice formation. This is how it looks in the lab. So finally, if we are successful, we get plants growing back from meristems that have been in the lignin action. And a tricky part of this is obtaining the shoot tips, the meristem. So for that, we need to dissect the tissue culture plant. And this is an example with an allo. And you can see that, this is an accelerated video. It's not that fast, of course. And you can imagine that you need to do that under the microscope, and it can be a little bit tedious. You need a little bit of training to do that as well, but it's possible to do. This is an example of one of the allos we have been working with, and we got so far as 70% of plant recovery. As I mentioned before, this is a clonal material. What we use, the reason why we use aloes for cryopreservation is because we have plants at the Huntington that have been collected in the past in populations that might be disappeared already, and this is a way to keep them in the for the future if we want to plant them back. As you might have experienced, it's easy to lose a plant when you have a field collection. So this is a way to preserve them for the future. Another example, as Margaret was mentioning, Asian magnolia is one of the endangered magnolia species, and is the only one considered endangered in the United States, and that's why we started working with that. And so far we got as well some regeneration. In this case, it's 30%. I'm still not happy with that. I want to recover, optimize this part. But so far, the cryopreservation, it can be considered the best method to have a long-term conservation system. The recovery depends on different factors. And we still need to do a lot of work. And to do that work, we need collaborations. And with that, I want to acknowledge as well all the institutions that have been working with us in either providing resources, providing plant material, which is important, otherwise we cannot do anything, and providing as well knowledge. The horticultural knowledge is really valuable for me. We have really great horticulturists at the Huntington, and I'm sure in other gardens as well. And this is the knowledge they have is really useful for the work I do. And with this, I finish, and I thank you for your attention. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.